Well, we asked these guys to come and join us today, and just to share a little bit about legacy. And you know, as we mentioned, legacy, you know, is not just one dimensional, but you know, the heart of it really is about people. And so I'm really going to start with John and Margaret here, and then we're going to skip down to Andrew and Kim, and then we'll let Will and Rachel. Let Will and Rachel wrap up. But I said to these guys, I don't want to be too prescriptive today because they've all got different journeys and stories. And we just want to hear really what legacy means to them and maybe how God has left a legacy for them or used them to leave a legacy in the lives of others. And so, John, do you want to reach behind you, mate? There's a microphone there. Yeah. Awesome. So Margaret and John, Margaret's got the microphone. What does the idea of legacy mean to you?
Well, am I on? The idea of legacy to me is something that happens in the past that brings benefit to the future. And that's what the world says is legacy. You know, we leave a legacy for our children maybe, or our grandparents leave a legacy for us and as a financial gain. But I see legacy as something different. I see legacy as partnering with Jesus in something far greater than I could ever imagine. Something that I cannot see, something that is not about me, but is about where God wants to take me, and something that I partner with God in. And it's got nothing to do with me. I'm just walking along if I can. Sometimes my experience of legacy is that mostly I'm standing on tippy toes, reaching up, trying to stay afloat in the river. It's about handing over control. It's got nothing to do with me. It's a pure God thing. And I can look back. And, you know, looking back is something that lots of people in the Bible did. And like David, we would say David left a legacy. But whenever he stepped into the legacy God wanted for him, he remembered. He remembered God's faithfulness. And, you know, when I just stretched up and, you know, many times there was I would say to John, you know, I can't do anymore. And that's really a great place to be in God, where you're just saying, God, you have to do this. And it turns into something that's a legacy that I feel.
Well, Margaret actually led me into that. And so I'm just going to share a little bit about our legacy in Mozambique. For us, it was a big part of our lives. When we decided to go, we knew that God was in it. You know, everything just fell into place, and people came on board to help us. People gave us money to build a house over there, and we knew we weren't going to bring stuff back, so we were actually going to create a legacy for other people over there. Margaret went to Bunnings and talked to the manager there, and we went up there and bought all these trolley loads of stuff. And when we got to the checkout lady, she was punching it in, and there was meters and meters of paper coming out of this thing. And we thought, man, you know, this is a lot of money. But anyway, we kept on going. And but we were trying to do it on our own a little bit, you know. And then the manager came down, and he said, oh, it's all finished, yeah, yeah. And he pushed a button on the cash register, and it all changed. And we got it at lesser cost. And so, you know, and we thought, maybe we should have got more of this stuff. Anyway, we were trying to,
I want to know where that button is. Like, can you see that button? Just push that button for me.
And so, you know, going over there with the container, we waited 7 months for the containers to come. And we took everything out. And as we were taking stuff out, we're thinking, why did we bring more stuff, you know, to bless the people over there in the building and building our house? But really, you know, creating a legacy, we were just joining with Iris, who already had a legacy in Mozambique.
That's Heidi and Roland Baker,
yeah.
For those of you who don't know. who have
ministry. We were on a base, and when we got there, the base was only just started to be built, the new base. And when we left 6 years after that, they had schools, high schools, the university. They're building a two-story hospital. They had a clinic that was actually recognised by the Mozambican government. And so it's actually a very big place now. And it's a fantastic legacy for the Mozambican people. So we were just part of that. You know, we went over there and we were just part of that. It's not about us. It's about God and what God did through us up there. You know, we went up there with a vision. This is what we want to do. Margaret wanted to teach sewing and I wanted to have a workshop. It's not like that. You know, God says, no, it's not like that. It's just not this way. And so, you know, what we created up there and helped create it and lift the people up, IRIS are doing the same. They're shifting it all over to Mozambican people are all in positions in the base. Everybody else has just kind of stepped back. Heidi and Roland are just people there organizing. Mozambican people are doing it. So it lifted them up and created a fantastic legacy that will go on for years. I know my workshop probably doesn't work, the tools are probably all stolen and broken, but I know that the legacy we've left there to the people, that what I taught them to do, is going to go down through their generations.
Yeah. Did you have something you wanted to add there as well, Margaret?
You know, sometimes it's, John said we went and yes, we did go. I felt I had a talent to teach women sewing, and John took all his workshop tools, which is what we packed into the container, plus all the stuff that Bunnings generously helped us purchase. But it wasn't just, that was only just half of it. We went to Bunnings, and yes, Bunnings gave us all that, and then God gave us, well, he gave my daughter a creative idea where we had this sale, and we actually laid all the goods out at the price that we had purchased them at, and people bought them. So although we went to Bunnings with our money, and we looked at it like that, we thought, you know, but actually people bought the stuff again, and we got that money back. And that's what God is like. It's like he just multiplied everything that we put our hands to. You know, I'm not a bold person. Can you see me going to the Bunnings man and asking? But God gave me a boldness that I never, ever had, and he wants to embolden all of us with abilities that we don't even imagine we've got. As I said, we went to teach sewing, but God doesn't just let you wear one hat. You know, he has talents in us that he wants to grow, and it was incredible the things that God grew in us. And that is the legacy of what God wants to do in us, and us as a community here, and us as a greater community in Devonport and the North Shore and Auckland, is beyond us seeing. We can't imagine that. But that's the legacy. And our part is just to partner with him and let him take us on the ride. He says, step into this river. Not just up to your ankles or up to your shins or up to your knees, but hop in and let the control go. Because when you let the control go, I can do stuff. While you're holding the purse strings, I can't.
Wow, that is just so awesome. I just feel full already. I love what you said, John. You said the point is it's not about us, but it's about what God can do through us. And it just reminded me of the scripture, Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about like the people of faith who've gone before, you know, the Abrahams and the Isaacs and all those. And it says all these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so there's this sense of like they sowed and they gave and they lived a life of faith, but they didn't necessarily see the fruit of their labors in their lifetime, but together with us. Do you see it? It's about generations. So Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate what you're saying there. I want to jump to Andrew and Kim this morning, if I can. And there's a microphone just behind you, Rachel, if you pass it on to them. Another scripture that popped to mind is Psalm 103, which says, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children." And then it says in Psalm 78, "We will not hide from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." And I think something about leaving a legacy that's important is about family. And I wonder, you know, do you guys have any thoughts on that in terms of family, in terms of spiritual legacy? You can share whatever you like, but yeah, over to you.
I'm Andrew and this is Kim. We're both in the middle of receiving legacy and we're in the process of parenting and, you know, trying to pass it on sort of thing. And when we think about the heritage, you know, we both had Christian influences in our childhood and that sort of thing. There's a lot of good in that, and there was a bit of baggage in that as well. So we kind of have an aspect of being grateful for, you know, grandparents or parents who prayed for us and who valued faith and, you know, trying to take us on that journey and exposing us to God's presence and that kind of thing. And we also have an awareness that we don't want our kids growing up with the same baggage that we had to process as young adults and you know, feeling valued on that sort of thing. So we kind of, I guess our legacy going forward is one of being grateful for the investment that was good and that had God on it, and being aware of the stuff that didn't, and sort of like saying, okay, that was the church culture of the era, or that was, you know, some Americanese sort of thing that snuck into our representation of God that doesn't necessarily represent him well, sort of thing. So some of that sort of stuff has been our journey with the legacy, but we also feel massively grateful that even though we haven't made good choices in our own life and been reckless in things and exposed ourselves to unnecessary dangers, that God still looked after us. And you know, we've kind of been given second chances over and over again, and so in that aspect, you know, we kind of feel that we've received that without any doing of ourselves, and even though we've stuffed a lot of things up or you know, made poor choices and that sort of thing, we still have God's blessing in our lives, and so that's definitely an undeserving thing. At the same time, there's an aspect of community that we feel we're blessed to be a part of here. When I think of Rachel, I'm super inspired. I don't want to steal any of your story, but there's that legacy difference when I see Jess, the way you know, parented Jess and her future is so different from what you went through in your own story sort of thing. And I thought, man, what a step forwards, you know, what a different path she lives. And we're kind of inspired also that our kids would have that same thing, you know, that they would have the ability to face their own challenges and to be strong and struggle and grow. But at the same time, that we would have that connection with them and be close to their journey. So we don't see legacy as silver spooning or, you know, having a credit card that your kids can use whenever they want. We should probably feel that's what we can't afford anyway, but at the same time, it would it probably wouldn't be that beneficial in the long run. You know, there's actually beauty in the struggle, and there's good parenting from our God in heaven when he walks through challenges with us rather than just fixing everything and making it all easy. You know, the easy path is not necessarily the best path. So that's probably part of our parenting legacy. Kim would like to add some stuff to that.
Yeah, one thing I was talking to a friend last night about this, and when I got saved, I found out afterwards that there had been a lady in our church when I was a little girl who God had said happened to pray for that girl. Now, I never remembered this lady, but every year I'd get this birthday card, and I'd always say to my... I remember how often I'd say to my mum, who's this card? You know, really old writing. And she said, oh, that's so-and-so's grandma. I'm like, oh, okay. Never quite understood why she sent me a birthday card. I didn't know the lady. I hadn't. But she prayed for me faithfully from that moment all my life. And so when I was saved at 28... she was told through my friend, who I didn't even see this friend anymore, but that lady had been praying for me, and she would have found out at 28 that because I feel very strongly because of that lady, all the stupid dumb things that I'd done, many dumb things that I'd done, I just always had this favour and protection over me, and I just, so many things could have happened to me that didn't happen to me. And so she wasn't related, we were probably a situation like this, sitting in church, she saw me walk by and God would have said that girl needs to pray for her. So that's what I feel about legacy, not just after, even though I had an amazing grandmother, praying grandmother, and lots of amazing family who would have been praying for me. I think this woman praying faithfully for me was one of the many reasons that I somehow made it to 28 actually, really, and sort of with all my bits still on me, and so there's that. And then there's another story that I felt as far as family, and it was my sister sent this to me, and it was a beautiful story about it was actually talking about the invisible mum, you might have read it, but just saying some of the things that we do that nobody sees, children don't see, possibly never see until they have their own children. And it was talking about the architects in the building, and how then you see these amazing, strong, incredible architectural, beautiful buildings all over the world. No one ever says, well, who was the person who thought that up idea? Well, you know, who was the person who was involved in that? And there was a story about this guy who was carving this incredible little beautiful thing into the inner workings of this building that no one would ever see. And someone said, well, why are you doing that? Because, but then I know I was part of this building from the beginning. And I think as parents, we have that ability to just speak into our children's lives and do that foundational stuff that even if they never know or don't know for a long time, it's just a responsibility that we have that we all do really well as parents. And just, yeah, I think that's part of legacy, just what we can do, the unseen stuff that we can just, in the quiet, in the bedrooms, and the quietly with our children, just along the way that, yeah, again, no one sees, but somehow that just lays the foundation for them becoming awesome people. So that's all I have to say about that.
That's so awesome, you guys, you know. And that stuff really, it makes a huge difference, and it affects generations, you know. I know for Helen, I mean, Helen grew up in a non-Christian family, and a lot of brokenness in the family, but she went back and had a look at her heritage. So Barry and Julie Craig, Julie does heritage stuff, and found out that Helen actually comes from a long line of preachers and ministers, and it almost skipped like a couple of generations. But before that, there was a long line, and God brought her into that spiritual heritage. And heard that story so many times, just because parents have made a decision: we're going to live a godly life, and we're going to sow into our children, invest in them, and through the generations, you see that blessing flows on, and that is spiritual legacy. And praise God for praying grandmas too. Amen. I think we've all probably got one of those in our background somewhere along the line. Might be in your family, but it might be somebody you don't know, but someone who's been praying for you. So thank you, guys. That's really cool. William and Rachel. So I was reading this. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And I know that, Will, you are writing a book. You're writing a book, and it's really is all to do with legacy. Do you want to quickly tell us about it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I spent 30 years involved in this business, which was very successful at times, and we from it there were all sorts of different adventures. And people would say to me, "Oh, you need to write a book," you know, when they hear these things. And I generally wasn't interested because everybody's got a story and there's millions of books out there, and I was happy just to get to heaven and watch the video. But in August 2015, I went down to pray early one morning and just completely left field out of the blue, the Holy Spirit came down the stairs, put that scripture in my heart, write these things for generation yet to be born. And when I got down and looked up the scripture, and there's two or three references along those lines in the Bible, but this one was in Psalms, which I felt was most applicable. Yeah. Write these things for a generation yet to be born, that they would learn to praise God and learn about the miracles. And God was commissioning me to write. So when we sold the company at the end of 2015, after we tied things up from about May 2016, I've been basically writing full time since then. And so that's just past 3 years. My writings are with an editor now in Southern Isles. She says you've probably got two books in there, so, which is good. But it's just amazing the grace God gave me to be able to do that. And I've got a big party next year, and I hope to be able to pass on to my kids some memoirs at that particular party.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very, very cool. You guys wanted to share a little bit about financial legacy, that aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to start there? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So we had a successful business, and we built a beautiful school building in Christchurch. It was probably worth a couple of million bucks or something, which isn't a lot for Auckland, but for Christchurch it is. It's a big 840 square meter building. And after the company was sold, we thought, well, at least we've got that money tied up in the building when it, it's going to be a legacy, not just for our immediate family, but for my siblings and their families and things as well. But as you all know, there was a big earthquake in Christchurch, which really shook things up, and it basically really knocked the values around in that area. We tried to sell the building for a couple of years, but it just wouldn't sell. We came up with all sorts of good ideas that we thought maybe this is what God wants us to do. Turn it into, we could put 10 apartments in there, but he made it clear that wasn't the way to go either. And at about this time last year, we were right at the point that we were out of money. We no longer had a tenant in the building, and we desperately needed to sell it. There was a church across the road that we were keen to sell it to. It would be a really good fit for them, but they hadn't been interested. And then will you perhaps take it from there, from March last year? What you felt about you?
Yeah, I mean, we had approached them a few times before because we believed in our heart that the building actually belonged to them. And Will had prophecies about Seafield, which was our company, really having something to do with bringing in the harvest in that area. And yeah, when we found out that they were getting a new pastor, and I said to Will, this is a perfect opportunity just to approach them again, because a new pastor always comes in with new vision, and you know, he might be able to see something that they can't. And so, you know, through a few meetings, they really became interested in it, and so things were going along well. And they actually, we just had so many scriptures and people speaking things over us that were showing us that we're at the end. God was coming to rescue us from the situation that we were in, and we're thinking, okay, this is fantastic. And then they got back to us with an offer that was less than half the price of, like, half the value of the building. And we were just devastated, all of the things that went through our minds about our legacy that we were going to be leaving for our family, the situation we were going to be left in if we accepted that offer. And we went into prayer about that, and God just so beautifully sent us on a journey over a weekend where he gave us scriptures, he gave us conversations with people that had no idea of our situation. They're in another country, they couldn't have an idea about our situation, and basically really changed our hearts. And we decided in our hearts that, because we'd gone back to them and said, come up with something better than that, more realistic.
And but we decided in our hearts after God spoke to us that weekend that whatever they came back with, we would accept, regardless of how much more it was. And they came up a little bit, but it was still under half of what the building was worth or valued at. And we actually really felt good about that, because we felt, even though it was heartbreaking from a worldly, physical inheritance perspective, we just knew in our hearts that this was meant for them, and that the harvest actually would be brought in from that area through them, even more than we could ever imagine. And perhaps you can like share about the feedback that we've got, because throughout this whole process, which was heartbreaking and wonderful all at the same time, because you know there was a lot of adjusting, as you can imagine, that we needed to do, this new pastor that came in, he just loved on us so beautifully, and not out of a heart of wanting to get what he wanted to get, just a real genuine heart for us and what we were sacrificing. And he has over and over again given us feedback about what has been happening in that area. Do you want to share about that?
Yeah, it was amazing. 22 years earlier, the Lord had given me a really clear vision of his harvest in that area on the east side of Christchurch in New Brighton. It's quite a long story in itself, so I won't go into it. But the Holy Spirit prompted me to ask, Lord, what can I use to reap this harvest? And he said, Seafield School of English, which was our business. and so in 2015, after we sold the school business, we thought, how is that going to be fulfilled? But interestingly, when we have gone to two or three meetings at the Grace Vineyard Church, Beach Campus in Christchurch, they always refer to it as the Seafield Building. So, and God's timing was perfect, because God saw the vision, the harvest in the area, and now under this new pastor, James Rennick, and his team, that has absolutely been harvested. They've got a church across the road that can take 300 max, where they quickly went to a second service. They've now just started a third service. They've got 700 people coming on a Sunday now, you know, and this is in the last, well, since we sold them the building. And he sends texts is like, you'll be thrilled to know there's 180 youth using your building. Yeah. That's what I got to say about that.
It's beautiful. It's so awesome. Isn't that just amazing what God does, yes, you know?
What we thought was a material legacy, God had a lot bigger plan with don't you stand me. with an eternal legacy, really. Yeah. And when we were going through all this over that weekend, God gave so many scriptures, and we heard from people in circumstances that just brought us to the point of going, we just knew beyond a shadow of doubt is right for this church to have our building. And one of the scriptures that one of my daughters sent through that weekend, just out of the blue, it was this. Yes, in 1 Peter 1, in the Message translation. And it says, What a God we have. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. And boy, it felt like that at times. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through the suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory.
Yeah, it was amazing. And just on the whole legacy thing with that, the eternal legacy, I mean, we feel that we have sown into an eternal legacy for our kids and our grandchildren and for our family generations to come. And I just felt to say that, you know, whenever you sow into something like this building, whenever you sow, you can stand and expect that you will reap a harvest. You know, it might not always come the way that you expect it to. Quite often it doesn't, because that's not how God operates. We operate on this human level where we want this and we want that, but actually he's far more interested in hearts and souls and his plan for things. And you know, we look back over years and years of different seasons of sowing, and I just think, man, if I hadn't have done that then, I wouldn't have seen that then. You know, it just, I think if each of us just looked back over our lives, we could really see very clearly where God has interfered or been a bit, you know, like he had to whack me over the head quite a few times, because that's what I needed, you know, and see where that has brought you and impacted other people. Yeah.
One final thing to say. One of the things I heard that weekend when God would just change our whole perspective from a natural level to just seeing things eternally was a friend just told his story about his dad who came back from the war with a war pension, and but he used that money to go to a Baptist Bible college to train to be a minister. And, it was enough to buy land and things like that. He could have used the money for that, but he felt, no, I'll train as a minister and use up all the money doing that. But it occurred to me, there's people in heaven today because he did that, you know. The number of people that made it to heaven, he's now enjoying that as an ongoing legacy in heaven. You know, and they are in heaven because he sold a material legacy here on earth.
Yes, yeah, sure.
I just reminded of something that happened a few years ago, where I just felt moved for someone I was in church with, that I should give them some money towards them buying a car and stuff, and I got quite excited about it. I thought I'll go buy them a car. That'd be quite cool. You know, car hunting is always fun. And then I felt the Holy Spirit just going, no, just, this is a sum I want to give you. I want you to give them, sort of thing. And it was a decent amount of coin. It was, you know, quite a hefty sum. I thought, oh, okay, Lord, that's all right. You know, I was earning good coin at the time, and it was okay. It was, you know, it was manageable. And then it turned out three other people donated to these people, you know, at the same time. And I gave them a call saying, I just feel like the Holy Spirit is asking me to do this. And he goes, oh, that's awesome. My car just broke down, and I'm stuck outside Fielding or somewhere down, you know, somewhere out in the sticks. So I said, I'll just get a rental car, bro. There's money in your account, you know, it's all good. And it sort of worked out really good. But then about 3 or 4 years went by, and I was a bit tight for cash. And I said, hey, Lord, how about a return on that investment? It'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And I started, you know, praying a bit more passionately because I was really quite broke. And I felt like God just said to me, I'm going to pay you back way better than money. You know, and it's sort of like, and it was just one of them little whispers to your heart that just goes like, oh yeah, money, shmoney, you know, it's like the things that God can give you in the response to faith and stuff was a lot better than what you can buy with coin, you know. It's kind of like, it was just a nice little postural thing. Yeah.
That's awesome. Just as we close, any of you just want to quickly add a little amen to that? Otherwise,
can I? Because I sort of wanted to add something. I mean, I had a life before Will. Can you believe it? And, you know, I was a single mum for 12 years, and I just really wanted to talk about how God gave me the legacy of families around me. There's a neat scripture in And it says, I don't know why it's not. To the fatherless, he is a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. To the lonely, he makes them part of a family. To the prisoners, he leads into prosperity until they sing for joy. This is our holy God in his holy place. And that was a real comforting scripture to me when I was on my own for 12 years, because I was quite lonely at times and, you know, needed people around me. And God brought people along who listened to his Holy Spirit. So I suppose I just wanted to encourage us as a body of Christ to really start to get to know the Holy Spirit's voice, so that you can hear the promptings, like Andrew just talked about. You know, God prompted him to do that for someone, and it was so timely, because the Holy Spirit knows everything that everyone needs at every single minute of every day. Like, he knows exactly what the people in our community need. And if he whispers something to you, please, I mean, this is for all of us. Like, I'm still learning this myself, is to just be obedient to the little whispers that he gives you, what to do, because he knows better than anyone what's needed. Yeah.
And he looks after you as you step out and obey him and give of yourself. Of the resources given you, of the time that he's given you, of the love and the compassion that he's given you when you put it into other lives. And I'm going to close with this scripture. Just reminded me of that in 2 Corinthians 9. It says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. And so there's just this such a link, really, between us just stepping out and trusting God and what he's asked us to do in whatever sphere it is, but knowing that he will look after you in that. So, awesome. I wonder if either John or Margaret, if you guys could pray for us. You can do paper, rock, scissors if you like.
Father God, I thank you that you know each and every one of us. You know our circumstances, our situations, our worries, our joys, our highs and our lows. And yet you say, yet you are so lovely to me. Each one of us, you intimately want to lead and guide into places, just like the children of Israel, they were destined for a land flowing with milk and honey. And you have opportunities and places for us to go that we could never imagine, but you ask us to partner with you. Father, I just thank you that you made a way that we could partner with you through the blood of Jesus. Lord, embolden each of us by your Holy Spirit, please. Fill us afresh and rekindle the love that we first had when we first got to know you, Father. That love that allowed us to do anything and was just a walking in you. Lord, we just give this legacy whole program to you. We desire to partner with you. You have a plan. You have a way. Lord, open our eyes. Let us each hear your voice. Give us a generosity of spirit, a generosity of ability, a generosity of love for our Devonport community. And Father, we just give this to you, knowing that you desire an eternal legacy. You have given each of us an eternal legacy. And we can partner and walk that path with you, a perfect path, a perfect path. Lord, we just give this to you. Be with each and every family, even those that aren't here, Lord. bless them, lead them, draw them to you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. We thank you for the access we have. We thank you, Father, for your perfect plans for each of us and this community that we live in. You've given us a legacy to stand on in this church, people that have gone before us that have prayed. Lord, we have a legacy of visions and prophecies that we stand on. Help each of us to, and us as a church, to partner together to step into that flow that is there for us. Lead and guide us, I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, you guys, for sharing your journeys with us. We really appreciate it. Come on, let's put our hands together for these guys. Awesome. Thank you for coming today. It's been great to have you here, and I wish you a really, really good week.